Thank you for that. I feel like there's 1,000 things I need to say up here. My thoughts are just swirling in my mind right now. I'm going to take a minute and just ask the Lord for help. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help me to be clear in presenting your word, Lord. Lord, we need you desperately at this time, Lord. We need you in our lives. We need your direction. Lord, we are insufficient in ourselves, Lord, and I'm insufficient in preaching this message. So I would ask that you make my thoughts clear. Lord, help me to be careful in what I say regarding your word, Lord, and I just ask that you would use it in a special way this evening, Lord. Strengthen us, strengthen this, your church. In Christ's name, amen. I know the Bible is inspired. It's all true. It's all from God. But there's this one statement of Christ I've always struggled with. I've always had a hard time with. When Christ is speaking to his disciples about the topic of prayer, he gives them some advice in the Sermon on the Mount. He says to them, when you pray, you want to open your closet, go in there and shut the door, and that's where you should pray. For me, this is hard to accept. I think it's unsafe at my house to open any of the closet doors. You could get crushed with an avalanche of old objects and things that we shoved in there before company came. I think this is true of not just my house. I think a lot of houses have this same problem. You know, there's the stuff you use every day, and you know that, I mean, that has the place it goes. You know, you got the bowls, the spoons, the knives, the dishes. They all have spots. Boom, there they are, right? And then in the garage, you got the hose, you got a place to wind it up. Boom, that's easy, right? And so most of the stuff that you use regularly, you know exactly where to put that. But then there's those other objects, you know. You can't throw it out, right? Because someone that you love gave it to you, perhaps. You know, someone that means a lot to you. And you remember them, so you have to keep this object. You don't know what the value is or what you'll ever use it for, but you're going to save it anyway. And or if you're like me, you know, I would throw this out. But what if 20 years from now, I had to go to Walmart and I had to spend $3 to replace it? This would be such a travesty. I could have saved the $3 by having this large object take up room in my house for 20 years. And so, of course, we save this. So, as we organize our house and our possessions, right, the stuff that is used every day, boom, easy. You know, shelves, cupboard, whatever else. But then there's those things that you don't really use so much, and you're like, where should I put these? Okay? And every house has this place. For us, it's multiple places, but it's either, you know, the garage, right? Or maybe it's half the garage. The kids know where not to go. It's an attic. It's a crawl space. Perhaps it's a closet. Every kitchen has that drawer, you know? You don't know where it goes. It goes in that drawer. And so when that moment comes, and maybe your spouse has a zest for life and decides one day it's time to spring clean, you'd say, I would love to help you spring clean. I'm excited to help you. And then they say, I want to clean the, and they say the dirty word, closet, crawl space, attic, basement, whatever. And the shiver runs up and down your spine. You say, is this safe to go in there? You know, I think to myself of the prophets in the Old Testament. You know, they had bells on their robes, and they had ropes. And so if you ever heard the bell stop, you could just pull them out. So that's why I think of certain rooms, if I go in there, they might have to pull me out. I don't know if I want to go in there. So, but I think we all know what this is. We all have this clutter space in our house somewhere, right? And that is the last place that you want to deal with, isn't it? I mean, you would rather re-clean something 10 times than have to just look in that room. It's discouraging, isn't it, right? Because you've already had all those emotional battles and you've already given up. The victory's already been lost, right? And you see that and you say, I don't even want to go in there. I have no interest in this, okay? You know, maybe we can buy a new cupboard to put in there and then we can stack it even higher. The old PhD, pile higher and deeper. Just put it all in there. We don't want to go in this place. So, we all have these places, right? You know what? As funny as this is, we have these places full of clutter we don't want to deal with. I find a parallel in the Christian life. There are areas of the Christian life that are like that junk drawer or that junk room. There are areas that people don't want to deal with. And it's our finances. It's our money. Our money, you know, money is a no-fly zone in churches. You ever notice that? It's like that junk room. You know, I don't want to think about that. I got too many bills to think about. I'm overwhelmed by this. Or, you know, I've always enjoyed doing this, so I'm just going to keep spending money on it. You know, maybe your income went up, maybe your income went down. But I find a major blind spot in Christianity today is Christians' finances, the way they handle their money, the integrity they have. And when you preach this message, just the fact that I've said money already, I guarantee you, everyone thinks several thoughts. Some of you have thought, you know, oh great, I'm broke, and I'm going to get pounded on for my lack of faith or something like this. You know, I'm broke, I must be a bad steward, he's gonna hit me. And maybe other people are thinking, you know, hey, we've been saving, we're very frugal, we got money in our retirement, I can just turn this one off. Because it's not, obviously he's not speaking to me, because we have our financial house in order. Well, to both of you, I would say, think again. Proverbs 28:6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Is it possible that being a good steward of what God has given you has nothing to do with the amount of money that you have? Question, right up front, I'm just going to put this out here. In your own life, in your own walk with the Lord, do you have integrity with your finances? Are you dealing with your finances in a way that is Christ-like? When other people see, when your creditors see you, do they think this person's a Christian? When you make a deal on eBay, does that person that gets that thing from you, do they say, this is the way a Christian would service an order? Financial integrity is not dollar amount, but being a good steward of whatever resources God has given us. I'd like to give you four tests of a believer's financial integrity. Four tests. We're going to look through four areas of your finance, and I want you to take a score of yourself tonight and see how much integrity you have in the way that you deal with your money. Financial test number one, to see if you're a good steward of your money. Are you an industrious worker? Are you industrious when it comes to making money? Does perspiration scare you? There's an old proverb. Do you know where you should go if you're poor? You should go to work. Proverbs 10:4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if anyone should not work, neither should he eat. I grew up in a home, I was blessed to grow up in the home that I did, but we did not have a lot of money. My dad worked several jobs, and the church didn't pay much, the seminary didn't pay much, so though for a while there he worked three jobs. But it, looking back on it, the Lord used it in my life. When I was a kid, and here we go, I'm going to tell the old people stories here. I had to buy my own toys. No one was just going to give me whatever toy I wanted. I had to go earn it. Yeah, character, right? Let's hear for character. Yeah, everyone that's over the age of 20 is smiling. Everyone underneath it is frowning at this point. Yes, I had to work. I remember my first job. And I'm not going to tell stories about walking in the snow. I grew up in California. But my very first job was red carpet real estate. I was 6 years old, so my parents thought I was ready. And at this time, we had six kids in the family. And what we would do is we'd pass out red carpet real estate flyers on people's porches. And so because there were six of us, they broke us up into teams of twos, an older or the younger sibling. So I got, I think, Ethan. I was second to youngest. And then our parents would buy us the roller skates. That was the initial investment. But then if you had two at a time with roller skates, you'd go real fast. So my mom would drop us off at the different streets and pick us up on the other side. And so we did that. We worked for hours. It was hot. It was sweaty. And then we got paid. We were able to buy things that we liked. Yes, this is not child abuse. This is great. I did this for a number of years, and I was able to make some money. And I had some influence. I had a little baseball card collection going, and I did deals and whatever else. It was great fun. And I started dealing in church, and then I got in trouble. But that's another time. From there, I graduated to mowing lawns. This is also hot and sweaty work, pushing lawnmowers. But with the added responsibility, I also gained the ability to work and make money. And I've developed character in the process. This was good for me. You know, as believers, if we are not industrious at our job, or if we're not industrious wherever God puts you, if it's, you know, you've got your own business or whatever you do, you're not going to have a chance to testify of Christ, are you? People aren't going to be able to respect your integrity. Question for you at your work. What's your reputation at work? What do people see when they see you? What do they think? Are you the first person to head for break time? Oh, gotta go. Getting tired. You know, every business, they always have the weakest link worker. You ever notice that guy? That's the person that gets picked on. I have been that weakest link before. Moment of honesty here. It's no fun, is it? I hope you're not the weakest link. And if you are, I hope you're working hard to do your best at your job. This job I was at, I worked and worked and worked, and I said, I'm going to fix this. And I worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and got laid off. And it was a great blow to my pride. But I learned so much at being the weakest link and every day getting in trouble for something. You really learn a lot, and I'm thankful for that experience. I wouldn't take it back. It's important, though, people know how serious we are about our Christianity by how hard we work. If you're not industrious at your job, you're not going to have those windows to witness to people. Your boss isn't going to want to hear what you have to say. You know, at every work, there's always the guy that knows how to look busy, and there's always the guy that knows how to fix the difficult problems that come up. You know, there's that job that no one ever wants to do, right? It's so messy, it's involved, somebody will get upset. So this is the job people always leave for the next shift, right? It's the end of your shift, oh, we didn't have a chance to get to it. We wanted to, but we'll just pass it along to you. You know how this works. It's a game that they play. A boss knows who the person is that attacks this job and the person that is, you know, making up things to do, finding things to do. I worked in a factory once, and there was a guy. I mean, the owner loved this guy. The owner was never there more than 5 minutes a day. But when the owner was there, I mean, this guy was moving around pallets left and right. And people that actually worked there knew that it didn't make any difference how he rearranged the pallets. They were still not doing them, you know. But you know how some people, they put a lot of effort and gusto into making the effort to look like they're really, really busy. Don't be like this person. Now, the economy's rough. Maybe you're trying to find a job. Maybe there's just not work out there. I understand this. I don't want to feel like I'm beating you up here. Maybe you have physical limitations. Okay, I understand this. There was a point in my life when I was unemployed, when I was laid off. I hated every second of it. I was restless. I hated it. I don't think it's natural for a Christian to not work. I don't think this is what they should feel comfortable with. I prayed every day that God would give me a job. And I felt like the Lord was leading in my life. I prayed every day for this job to come. It did not come. It did not come. It did not come. We worked through our savings. Brooklyn was going to be born soon. I thought, this would be a good time, Lord, if you want to provide for us. Here it is. And it got to the point where we had to just cut all expenses we could. And I called up the Verizon. I said, I have to cut my cell phone. I can't afford to maintain this cell phone anymore. And I'd filled out at least 100 applications. No one had called me. Very last day I had service, I got a phone call from the job I ended up working at, Walmart Logistics. Are you interested in an interview? Well, of course I was. I was so excited. But this is the way God is. God provides for us, but He expects us to work. He expects us to give effort. If you're above breaking a sweat, if you can't handle a little grease and grime, you need to check your character, okay? Because God's not going to bless someone that's lazy, okay? Someone that doesn't put effort. So, we're talking about financial integrity. We've looked at our first test. Are you a worker? Do you work for the money God gives you? Let's look at the second test. Test number two of your financial integrity. Here it is. Do you pay your bills? Do you pay your bills? It always surprises me the people that don't pay their bills and the reputation they get. If you rack up big bills, and you do not pay them, you are a liar. But it got real quiet, didn't it? If you rack up big bills and you don't pay them, you're lying to that person, aren't you? Because the understanding was when you took that service or that perhaps that whatever that object was that you got that service or that that good that you took from them, the understanding was I will pay you back, right? That's why they gave it to you. They didn't give it to you as a gift, did they? And so when you sit there and someone gives you this, or you go and you purchase something on a credit card and you're not paying this back, in essence, you're not being honest with that person, are you? The agreement that you signed when you got the credit card or whatever you agreed to was that you would pay it back. You are not an honest person if you're not paying your bills. Now, maybe there was an emergency along the way. Maybe you had a health problem or some kind of difficulty. Maybe you didn't have a choice in what happened. And if that's true, then you need to do your best to go to the person and honor it the best way you can. Maybe you can settle for less money. You say, you know, the bill is $1,000. I only have $500. Can you take $500? And they say, that's good enough, you know. But in this case, you're doing the best that you can. And I think the Lord honors our heart when we do the best that we can. But on the other hand, if you have a bunch of big bills that are outstanding and you owe people lots of money and you're driving fancy sports cars and you're taking luxury vacations, you are being dishonest. If you can pay that bill and you're not, you are being dishonest. Psalm 37:21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. You know, some of the financial advice, even I hear among Christians, it's not very Christian. With the economy the way it is, the housing market's way down, a lot of homes are upside down. For those of you who don't know what that means that people owe more on the house than it's worth. You know what I hear Christians say? Oh, you owe more than it's worth? You should just walk away. Leave that to the banks to take care of. Let them have the mess. You just go ahead and walk away. Really? Is this integrity and honesty? If you agree to a loan and you say, I'm going to pay this back, but then it's not favorable to you, you're going to walk away? Just think if the house increased in value, would you walk away from that? Of course not, because that's your own self-interest. You're doing what's best for you. You're not doing what's best for others. No. If you take out a loan, I don't care how upside down it is. If you agreed to pay that and you're a person of integrity, the bank should be able to count on you that you're going to try to pay it back. Now, maybe other things come up and you don't have a choice, you get foreclosed on. I mean, that if something comes up and it's out of your hand, that's one thing. But if you have the ability to pay a bill and you don't do it, you are being dishonest. You are lacking in integrity. And it word gets around if you're a person of integrity or not. People notice. A number of years ago, when I lived in Muckwonago, Wisconsin, many, many years ago, there was a man in the church, and he owned his own trucking company. And he would tow all kinds of people. Everyone in the town knew this guy. And for a while there, he did a lot of business. And he came a point in his life where he accepted Christ as his Savior. And every time he'd tow someone, he'd tell them about Christ. And he was always talking about Christ to the people. He was a great help to the church. Well, unfortunately, along the way somewhere, he really lost his fire for the Lord. You know, he started missing services here and then before long, he was barely ever at church. The man just kind of really backslid and fell away from the Lord. It was just really sad to see it happen in his life. And that man racked up huge lines of credit in all the local stores. And one day, in the middle of the night, he packed up his possessions, his family, left the town, not paying any of his bills. Disappointing, very disappointing. Well, the pastor of that little church scraped together all the money he could find, and that church was not a rich church. But we scrimped and pulled money of every corner we could. And he went to all those business owners one by one and paid as much as he could. I don't think he paid all of it, but he was able to settle with each one of them on this man's debt. You know what? If the pastor had not done that in that small town with that reputation, that church would have never recovered, would it? Because that church would have lost all integrity with the community. When you don't pay your bills like that, you are a bad testimony to the name of Christ. It's important that we pay our bills. Here's another question under paying your bills. And this I find among Christians too, and it makes me scratch my head. Under paying your bills, I would say, do you pay your taxes? I hope you don't try to cheat the government. You know, Uncle Sam will never know if I deduct this or deduct that. You know, maybe he won't know. I don't know. But I'll tell you someone who will know. God knows. God knows if we're really being honest with our finances, doesn't he? He knows if we're trying to cheat the government. Christ said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. You know, some people would say, you know, the government, it's a wicked group of people, right? A wicked group of men and women that lead our country. You know, I never really voted for this Governor Pat Quinn character. I did not. Maybe you didn't vote for President Barack Obama, or before that, you wouldn't vote for President George W. Bush. I don't really vote for these guys. I don't really support them. I don't really agree with what they do. I shouldn't really have to pay my taxes, right? Why should you have to participate if you don't agree with these people? And if this is your attitude, I have a question for you. Do you have faucets with running water in your house? Where do you think this came from? Does your car drive on the road? If there was a fire at your house, who would you call? If there was a criminal in your neighborhood, would you call the police? Someday when you retire, will you get Social Security checks in the mail? You know, all these things that I mentioned, what are they all? They're all government services. Whether you agree with every aspect of the government or not is immaterial, because you do benefit from it, do you not? And if you're benefiting, isn't it just right that you should help pay for it? Whether I agree with every single thing that Governor Pat Quinn does or not, I am benefiting that he's there. Whether I agree with everything that Barack Obama does, President Barack Obama, does it matter? You know what? You think about it, he helps keep our nation safe. Can you think about this? When's the last time your town was bombed by some strange force? As much as you might agree or disagree with him, he has kept you safe. And so I think the least we can do is pay our taxes. I think we're getting a pretty good deal, and Christ commands it too. Now, maybe you'd say, you know, I can't really pay my bills. I am just so poor. I don't have the money. I wish I could. There's a way to cure any financial trouble that you have. Actually, it takes two steps. There's a two-step formula I have. I can cure anyone's financial trouble in this room with my two-step formula. You want to hear what it is? Number one, make more money. That cures your financial troubles if you make more money, right? Or number two, spend less money. Sometimes it's a combination to solve your financial troubles. But I guarantee you, if you do those two things, it will help you financially. Now, maybe you say, you know, I can't make more money. I'm not good at it. And as far as spending, you know, I need to eat. I can't spend less than I'm spending now. Then I would tell you, I have a step three that I'm going to add to this. Get on your knees and pray for money. Get on your knees. You know, God will answer your prayer. God knows. He knows the hair on your heads, which for some of us isn't very hard, perhaps, but he knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. He cares for us, and he knows our needs. If we pray to him, surely he will answer us. Now, maybe the answer might be a couple jobs. I don't know. Maybe you'll have to sweat in the process. But God will listen to your prayers. Let's be salt and light in our communities by paying our bills. Okay, test number three. If you are a Christian of integrity, test number three. Are you a giver? Are you a giver? Are you a giving person? In our culture, in our society today, there's too many people that are takers. You ever notice that? It's all about me. What do I need? What do I want? What can I buy myself? You know, you got to hang out in the mall and you got to buy it. You go to school to get a great job someday so you can drive a better car. It's all about me. It's about stuff and things and what people perceive of me by what I wear. This is very sad. You ever notice that the people that are all about me, that are the people that don't give, you ever notice that they're very unhappy? It's never enough, is it, right? You can never have something nice enough if it's about you. It will never fill the hole you have that only Christ can fill. I hope this isn't true of you. I hope you're a kind of person that's a giving person, someone that's generous and kind. You're giving maybe in your attitude. You're pleasant to talk to, perhaps, or you see a need and you're able to fill it. You're someone that's industrious. You're able to give to the various needs that people have. You ever notice that the real giving kind of person always has friends? Have you ever noticed this? The person that's always giving, always trying to help, trying to encourage. This is the way God designed it. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over. Shall a man give into your bosom? For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Proverbs 28:27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Now, I could read you infinite verses in the Bible about giving and how God blesses givers. I just read a couple of them. I'm sure you've heard other verses from this pulpit. Maybe you don't have a lot of money. Okay, maybe you're poor. I don't know. People have perceptions based on what they see someone else from the outside. But we don't know what goes on in your own life. But I would encourage you, if you have a little bit and God blesses you with that, I would say, share that. If God gives you a lot, you're able to give a lot, then give a lot. It doesn't really matter if it's a huge amount or not. God isn't more oppressed by someone that gives more. Remember the widow that gave her 2 mites? That was such a small amount of money, wasn't it? I mean, that's just like pennies she gave. And what happens? God notices her above the Pharisee that throws in all the coins and makes the clanking noise and tries to impress everyone. No, God sees our heart, and He sees, this person is giving from their heart. This is a meaningful act of worship to me, and God is impressed by that. So I hope you're giving. Giving in the church, giving to individual needs. Perhaps your community has a need. Do good to all men, especially those that are a household of faith. So we think of the household of faith, but we're also doing good to everyone. So I hope you're a giving person so God can really bless you. So, if we're supposed to give and we're supposed to be selfless in our gifts, my question is for you. Should a Christian ever go on vacation? You ever think about this? If you go on vacation, are you being selfish? Anyone ever think like this? I always have this guilty feeling. No one. Just me. Okay, well, very good. I'm the only one, I guess. So I'll answer my own question and I'll be on my way here. Do you ever think about this? Can Christians have nice things in their house? Are they being selfish? You go on vacation. Let's just say you blow a few $1,000. Are you being selfish because you didn't put that in the offering plate? Some of you are starting to think now. My answer, of course, is complicated. I'm going to say yes and no. Depends. I think it depends on your income and how much money you have. If it's proportionate, I think. Does that make sense? If you have a large amount of money and you spend a small amount of vacation and you're still giving significantly, I think it's and before the Lord you're doing the right thing, I think that's okay. I don't think it's a sin to do something that's fun with your money. But I would say this, if you're not paying your bills and you're not giving, you don't need to take a luxury cruise line, okay? That's out of balance. Scripture says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If I sat down with you and looked at your budget, and this is another message, but assuming you have some kind of way of coordinating how you spend your money or some kind of a system that you follow, and I looked at where the different amounts are, I can kind of map out your life, can't I? In the same way, if you're spending all your money on ATVs and off-roading and motorbiking and whatever else, going to luxurious vacations, and this is a huge amount of your income, I'm going to say there's a spiritual problem there, isn't there? If this is the biggest part of your life, if that's where all your money goes. So I would say let's be proportionate in what we do, okay? I would say giving is important. It's okay to do other things that are fun. You don't have to feel guilty. I think you can have some nice things, do some fun things. But I would say have a balance to what you do, okay? Be a balanced person. Be a balance in how you steward God's money, okay? So you're not just wasting it. God blesses givers, and I hope you experience that blessing in your own heart and life. I hope that you are someone that's generous and God can really bless. Okay, so this is our third test. Test number four. If you have integrity with money, here's the fourth question. Do you make fair business deals? Do you make fair business deals? Let me put this another way. Do people enjoy doing business with you? Do people enjoy doing business with you? What do you like to do business with? Or I can put the cookies on the bottom shelf here. Do you rip people off? Are you ripping people off? Do you take advantage of the naive? If you're a person of integrity, you're not going to rip people off. If you have leverage on someone, you know, and you have a chance to put them out of business, it doesn't mean you have to do it. You really don't. When something is undervalued, the person doesn't know what it's worth, do you take advantage of this person? If someone's naive, do you say, oh, we got a sucker here. I can take advantage of them. Is this the kind of person you are? On the other hand, when you sell objects, are you honest? Are you honest about the things that you sell? My family, wherever they're sitting, they're gone. There they are. Yes, we sell and buy stuff online, and it's amazing, some of the stuff. You get the really good people and the people that are not so honest. They leave out key details. Is this what kind of person you are? I know people, and when they sell a used car, they sell it, it breaks down. Someone came to the person and said, you know, the transmission was bad. And I asked you if the car was a good car, and you said yes. Well, I said it was a good car. You didn't ask me about the transmission. Is this what kind of person you are? You have to try to haggle every last cent out of somebody. I hope I don't offend all the capitalists here today. But you don't have to be Ebenezer Scrooge on every last dime, you know? If you sell an object and it has a problem, I tell people if something is wrong with it. Matter of fact, I always have this fear that I'm going to rip somebody off. And so, like, even at garage sales, you know, if I try to sell an object and they offer me too much money, I'll talk them down. I'll be like, 20, how about 10? You know, I know this product. And I sell stuff for less a lot of times because I just feel bad. But on the other hand, when they come to me later and say it's broken, I say, half price. It was half price. I told you up front and I charged you less. You can buy a new belt or whatever. But you have to be honest. If you're not honest with what you're selling or what you're buying, people catch on to that, don't they? You're not fun to do business with. If you're not upfront, and I would encourage you, and I am paranoid about this. You can ask my wife. She thinks I probably go too far. But if someone tries to buy something, we've just sold several cars, I won't even talk money until I've showed them everything wrong with it twice. Like, I have to tell them and show them, and I just think to myself, I don't want anyone to be deceived by this product, okay? I've got to tell them. I hope this is the way you are. I hope you're just fanatical about your integrity. Now, this is a testimony you have. I have several rules of thumb when I make a business deal, if I'm buying and selling. Rule number one, practice the golden rule. You may have heard of the golden rule. It applies to business deals as well. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. If somebody was trying to sell you something or trying to buy something from you, how would you want them to treat you? Would you want them to withhold payment? Would you want them to try to sneak something by you that's wrong with the product? Would you want them to try to use every possible piece of leverage to get every maximum cent out of you and try to nitpick every little thing that you do in the contract? Is this what kind of person you want to do business with? Be the kind of person that you would want to do business with. All right, second rule in making fair business deals. The first rule is practice the golden rule. Second rule. The second is my testimony. After the person takes the products or the service or does the product or service for you, could you give them a tract and would they take it? Could you give them a tract, would they take it? Think about this, okay? You've just squeezed every last penny out of them and you've held them to the finest print on the fine print on the contract. Now, would that person take a tract from you? Do they see Christ in you? You know, if you're honest, even if you're hard with people, I'm not against being hard, okay? I do have some capitalism in me. And I'm not against being honest and upfront and hard. But when you're upfront and you're honest with them and you're not hiding anything and you're completely upfront, people can respect that, okay? People respect business. But when you're trying to nitpick and you're greedy and you want something just a little bit better and you're not thinking about them, you know, that person's going to get turned off. Try this. Try to do this next time. If you're to the win-win, you know, both sides can win in an agreement. Both sides can come out ahead. They can get something from you that they want, and you can get something from them that you want, okay? You don't have to take advantage of anyone. You can do business deals where everyone's taken care of. I know this is anti-capitalism. I'm really sorry. But you can do a business deals that help everyone and still have a growing business. As a matter of fact, people will enjoy doing business with you. Can you imagine this? People will enjoy someone that has this testimony. Think of others. It is vital as Christians that we have integrity, that we have a testimony before the unsaved world in how we handle our finances. I would encourage you to be upfront, to pay your bills, to be honest, pay your taxes, to be hardworking, be industrious, be a giver, and treat people with respect when you talk to them. I would encourage you, this is very vital for us. Do you have integrity in your finances? Are you honest with your finances? How do the unsaved people around you, how do they perceive you? Do they see Christ's likeness when you make a deal with them? You know, whether you're rich or poor doesn't matter. What matters is that we're good stewards of what God has given us, and we're the kind of people that God can bless. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to be salt and light in our world. Help us not to just think of ourselves, Lord, but help us to think of others, even in the small things, Lord. We know, Lord, if we can't even handle money, you're not going to give us true spiritual riches, so Lord, and we want those. So help us to be honest and have integrity with our money, Lord. I ask these things in Christ's name, amen. Please stand to your feet.